Why don't you grab your Bible and turn to a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 18 in verse 41 through to verse 46. And then we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 6 in the New Testament and look at verse 43 to 45. So, Pastor Paul was sharing last week on a great, great challenge to us, and Pastor Scott alluded to it during the offering, about when God gets your heart, your inner world determines your outer world. What's going on the inside affects your outside, and I just want to share a little bit about those thoughts. But yesterday I was doing a baby dedication for a friend of mine, and I just was reminded of a perspective on the Word of God that was good for me to remember, and I think it would encourage all of us. But it was in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 10. I had it for the little boy I was dedicating. But the previous verses to verse 10 talk about Ezra, who was a priest who served the governor Nehemiah. And when he read the word, it says that the people gathered and the word was spoken from a high platform, and it was spoken and they listened to it because he shared understanding and he gave them input, and everyone was expectant, and they had this amen. There was amen and amen, and people were excited to hear it. And then it says after that, they all worshipped God. And I just thought, we need to be reminded that the Bible wasn't always in print form. It wasn't as accessible back then as it is now. It was all handwritten, so obviously it was expensive because people couldn't buy it, and they used to, lock it up under lock and key. And literacy wasn't as common as it is now. So, in fact, reading, because books were so expensive, reading was something that only a number of people did. And the idea is that everyone listened to the word. They came under the word. I think sometimes when it comes to us and our faith, we treat the Bible like any other book, and we look down upon it. We read it as if we are over it, but we don't read it from the sound that we can get from it. We read it quietly in our room. And hey, I think it's fantastic that we can read, and we can, especially if you went to Merrill School Grammar, your reading's up here. But the truth is, I think sometimes we lower the value of the word, and we don't see it should be read not like this. It should actually be read like that. Because the word is actually above us. We are under the word. This is the word of God. It's from the throne room of God. And when we read it, I would encourage you to read it out loud. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you're reading the word, speak it out over your life. Read Psalm, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Speak it out over your life. Because then it creates a sound that we listen to. The Hebrew culture is very much about listening and taking on board and stories and accounts, and you actually engage when you listen. It might not be the Greek culture of entertainment and looking and visual, but it's there's an understanding in the Word of God that actually we need to read the Word over our life, and we posture ourselves by we are over it. But actually, God is over us. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Just wanted to remind us that we're under the Word. Be encouraged. 1 Kings, are you there? Verse 41 to 46, it says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Get thee up, eat and drink, For there is a sound of abundance of rain. Turn to your neighbor and say, winter's on its way. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And so he said, go again 7 times. He went. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there is a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get down before the rain stops you. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Turn to your neighbor and say, great rain. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. This is a great chapter in Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45. Just a few verses there. Pastor Paul was a key point in this last week, and I just want to elaborate on it. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes nor grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings what is evil from the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Father, I just thank you for these two passages of Scripture that are going to encourage us this morning and change us. Let them be a seed that takes root in our heart, and that it will produce something fruitful as we nurture it and water it. Thank you for the person on our left and our right, and we know that they are created in your image and likeness, and we honor that, and we thank you for them, whether we know them or not. We just thank you that you're at work in their heart as well. And everybody said, amen. I love this passage of Scripture. I think it's challenging. I think Luke 6 is challenging as a chapter in the Bible. You've got a whole lot of things happening in Luke 6. You've got Jesus doing things on the Sabbath, walking in the fields, picking corn to feed the disciples. Not a good thing for religious people. You've got him in the, you know, the guy with the withered hand gets healed, you know, on the Sabbath. And it's like, man, Jesus is challenging religious people about the Sabbath. And then it says he goes away, a few verses down, he goes away to pray. He goes away to pray on a mountainside, it says. God takes himself aside, sets himself aside to pray on the mountainside. What a great picture that is. And then he comes down from the mountain, and there's his disciples all gathered together. And it says, Luke writes, he picks 12 of the disciples to follow him. He picks them out amongst the crowd. See, Luke was, you know, one of the extended followers of Christ, but Luke wasn't named as one of the 12, which is interesting that Luke would even scribe this. You know, it's like being the last picked on the team, but being secure enough to talk about it. What a great challenge that is. So he's picking, okay, you and you and you. Wow. Luke's writing about that. Luke also, writes that after this, a whole crowd gathers. A large crowd, the Bible says. And of course, Jesus, having set himself aside, full of the power and the presence of God, what does he do? He has compassion for there. So there's healing, there's deliverance, there's people encouraged and taught about the things of God. And then he brings it smack hard later and talk challenges us. We think we love, but we ask people to repay because we lend them something. And he just challenges the whole mindset of faith. And then there's a few verses towards the end of Luke chapter 6 that are like the illustrations that Jesus uses in the chapter. One of them is how can the blind lead the blind, you know? Otherwise, they both fall in the pit. You know, the plank one? You got a plank in your eye. What are you worried about? The speck in someone else's. And then he shares this incredible picture. And I love these three verses because in these three verses, there's what's called contrast. There's a contrast of good and evil. Yeah, yes, evil. There's a contrast of good and evil. So in these three verses, Jesus is saying, hey, you know, how can good produce bad? How can bad produce good? So there's contrast. There's a subject. The subject is fruitfulness. He's challenging fruitfulness. He's saying, okay, guys, how fruitful is our life? Because if there's good in your heart, how can it produce evil? He's also presenting an explanation, which I want to talk about this morning and illustrate. An explanation that there's good and evil stored in our heart. See, our heart, allow me to draw. I've got an A+ for art. At primary school. You know the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know the saying, it's like water off a duck's back. You know, it's words, just let them go. It's actually not true. Words are powerful. Words form our life. The tongue is a rudder. It steers your whole life. What's coming out of your mouth is actually determining where you're going to go. So this is a picture of thank you. It's called abstract. The idea that what people say to us runs off our life isn't quite true. The very fact is we need to view our heart as a storeroom. Our heart is a store because it says you produce fruit. What's stored in your heart, even physiologically, your heart has a memory. It's like your muscles have a memory. If I was to get on a push bike again, push bike ever again, my muscles would scream and go, I remember this. It's a storeroom. And you know what, people in your life put stuff in, good or bad. There's a reservoir in your life, and you create, this is water. Wow. Whew. There's water in your life, and God's spirit, God's presence. You know, when you see God, his presence comes into your life, and you start storing things up. Who knows that God is good, therefore we need to get more of God so that we produce good. How can you produce good from your life if there's no God there? Because only God is good, and he's the only author of good. So therefore, the more God we have, the gooder our heart is going to be. So people put stuff in your life, and it creates a reservoir. And we think, oh, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But we think, oh, you know, our heart's not overflowing, so we don't have to worry about, I'm not quite at the rim of my heart. The fact is, wherever you're standing, you're actually got a little bucket here. And you're actually dishing out good or evil on people around you. From the overflow of your heart, from what you dig out of your heart, whatever you bucket out of your heart, you're sharing with others. The important thing is it comes from the state of your heart. Have you ever been to a Have you ever been to a kid's pool? Have you ever had a kid's pool, you know, that's like that deep, and one day you fill it with hose water, and then 3 days later, it's slippery, grimy, things floating in it, and you have to empty it out again and do the process again. You know what, I think sometimes where there's no inflow, our water level becomes very low. And who knows, when the water level gets lower, the more concentrate the content. You know, the moving of a river is what keeps it fresh. But as soon as there's the deep pool in it, that's when you find the moss and the, you know, I remember going on a camp once. I've been on a camp many times, but once I was there, they had a dead possum in the water that everyone drank. It was a men's camp, so it was hilarious. But it's interesting, you know, when you start getting the inflows not happening, it's amazing what starts coming out. You find yourself speaking stuff that you're like, man, where did this come from? Or maybe stuff that you've said long ago, you've suppressed whatever you're thinking. You're like, man, I'll never, those personal guarantees we all make. And all of a sudden we find ourselves getting low. I just want to tell you, our God is a refilling God. Our God fills to overflowing. Our God's not worried about what's coming out of your life. He's a God that will fill us up. The amazing thing is, sometimes we find ourselves dry and cracks start appearing. The cracks in the ground. We find ourselves dry, bringing up sludge. See, what goes in, it's going to come out. What's good that goes in is going to come out. What's bad that's in, it's going to come out. One day or another, it's coming out. And I love the fact that when we get off our little thing, perch here, and we actually decide to go up the mountain, on our knees and seek God. If you're feeling dry, it's not that God wants you to be dry. It's not that God wants you to be erosion, dryness, cracks in your life. But it's the fact that God wants our heart. It's that God wants us to seek Him. And hey, we get a nice little preacher that just inspires us with good word and, wow, that's awesome. We come to church and it's like, man, presence of God is awesome. We get a little bit of a refill happening here and we get a little bit of revelation and it's awesome. I tell you, there's something powerful about getting an inflow in your life that's from the very throne of God, that you've set yourself aside and said, you know what, I'm going to go up to the mountain and pray and I'm going to believe for rain to come on this dry and thirsty land and I'm going to start refreshing myself because out of the abundance of my life, my mouth will speak. What's coming out of you? Have you ever stopped to review what comes out of your mouth? Not necessarily in this setting, because when someone says, how are you? It's like, oh, I'm fine, wonderful. Everything's just amazing. No, it's what comes out of your heart when you're by yourself. When you're working away. Or maybe what maybe your spouse says to you. Like on the odd occasion, you know, when Rochelle says to me, man, you shouldn't say that. Sometimes you end up saying it again and you shouldn't say that. And of course I listen and say, yes, dear. It's amazing, eh? If you stop to think, what's coming out of, what am I digging up from my heart? What am I speaking over my life? Because what you speak out, that's what it's going to be. Rochelle would challenge me and challenge me. But then you get a friend who knows you, and they come up to you and say, hey, you know, I've just noticed. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I need to change that. So you go back to Rochelle and say, darling, I've had a revelation. I actually think Rochelle rang my friend. So my friend would tell me, sort it out. It's amazing. Stop to see what's coming out, because your inflow determines your outflow. Oh, I'm just here to say it's time to go up the mountain, because the presence of God is going to reign. Come on, it's time to reign in the presence of God. I'm going to ask the band to come up. And I'm not saying this is the full reign. I just want this to be a catalyst to ignite something in your heart. Because your inner world determines your outer world. And the more we allow the presence of God to reign in our life, it stirs up and keeps the fresh and the good stuff in our life. And even though we find stuff overflow that's not good, I tell you, better out than in. You think, man, what's this horrible stuff? Sometimes the closer you get to God, the more of God you have, the more ugly stuff comes up. You know? It's like, man, where the heck is this from? But you know what? It's God's grace that is sufficient for you to handle that, what he's dealing with at the moment, to bring healing and freedom in your life. God doesn't stir stuff to the surface to demoralize us, to shame us, to make us feel like a failure. He brings things to the surface to provide healing and wholeness, that we be free from the bondages that we hide away in the deep crevasses of our heart. Because God's a good God. Every now and then I find stuff coming out of my mouth. I'm like, man, what? Man, how could I talk to my kids like that? But you know what? The more I get of this in, the more this is going to come out. And often we want God to show his word to us that we can speak it over our life, but we don't bother reading it, listening to it, hearing it, instilling it in our heart. So how can he bring something to the surface if it's not in there? I mean, it's a challenge to myself as well. But I'm sure there'll be people here who are feeling dry, who are feeling cracked, a bit of erosion. Maybe you're trying to self-preserve yourself, and I'm just saying, you know what? Take some time out and go up the mountain. It's time to go to the mountain and pray and seek the Lord that he might shower us with his presence, and we can have a goodness in our heart that doesn't come from anyone else. Hey, we can get encouraged. That's awesome. Someone can give you a word in season. That's awesome. There's nothing more powerful seeking God yourself. Why doesn't every head be bowed, every eye closed? I'm going to ask the team just to sing a few verses of a song, and then I'm going to pray. Here. Sometimes I think we get scared to allow God into the full part of our heart because there is resident evil in there. And so we think we'll hide it away and, you know, bury it. But the fact is, anything hidden, we're not free. Amazing thing, God's not intimidated by that. God's not scared of that. God didn't author evil to happen in our life. The amazing thing is, in the presence of God, it's changing our mindset from worrying about what He thinks to actually concerning ourselves with how good He is and how His heart is towards us, that He wants us to be free, whether it's a personal guarantee you made, like, I will never... Even if that personal guarantee was for good, like, I tell you, when I was young, like between sort of 8 and 14, I used to love the Word, reading the Word, and used to write little messages and file them in a little folder. And, you know, when my Sunday school teacher would say, hey, do you want to share on something? I'd say, sure, what's the topic? Look in my little green folder for something. And I would share it. And I remember even speaking in tongues when I didn't really even know what it meant. I was like 9 and 10, sitting on my front yard, just speaking in the language of the Holy Ghost. I'm like, man, this is awesome. I was hungry for God. And it's in my heritage, it's in my line of this. My uncle was a preacher boy. My great-grandparents were Salvation Army officers. And, you know, it's a call that God has on our life. And when I was 15, I remember just getting hassled by some people just saying that I was too fanatical, too full-on, too over the top and all that. So I went home and I got my little green folder and I threw it away and I said, I will never be a pastor or a preacher. I will never. And you laugh because I've been doing that 15 years. But when I was 15, I made that guarantee. Now, sure, I wanted to serve God. I wanted to give my life for Him, but I said, I'm going to do a different track. I'm going to go on this track for God. He knows my heart. He knows I care for Him and that. But I made a personal guarantee that I'll never be a pastor or a preacher. 15. Forward the clock, 20 years. Only my mum and dad know about my little green folder. And that was 20 years, so 3 years ago, I, you know, been here a long time and was always clear, Pastor Paul, you know, there's going to be a point where, you know, this isn't me. And Pastor Paul just said to me, why? I said, oh, because, you know, I want to make a difference in my life, I want to serve God and something else. Then he asked again, why? Why? Oh, you know, I believe God's hands in my life, but it's definitely not ministry. And then he asked a third time, so why? And I just broke down and I cried. And, you know, something I'd buried deep in my heart came out of my life, came out of my mouth. It was, you know, whether it's good or bad, it's not the point. The point is, if it's in there, it's going to come out. And I said, well, to be honest, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I just broke down and cried. Wow. But I tell you what, man, what a freedom and liberty I felt. When you actually let God into those areas in your life where you say, man, I will open my heart up to God. I also said, I'll never pioneer a church. I just believe there's people here this morning that need to hear that. We're worried about God seeing all of our heart because we think He's going to... Nah, He wants to pour His grace, His presence, His love, His kindness, His concern, His care, His healing, His anointing, His power over your life. Let Him have your heart. Pastor Paul's talking about when you let God have your heart, I tell you, all things become new.